Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we're speaking to a beautiful Super P from Western Australia who has girls with an older brother.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not suitable for children. So put your headphones, earbuds, AirPods, put them in, people. Hi, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Well, here we are. Let me tell you, Annalise, we've actually got a blanket on our laps.
We do. Look, we are freezing. The sun is shining, but my feet, I came wearing Birkenstocks. I was like, yeah, it's going to be 23.
Yeah, and
oh, boy.
It's well, it probably is outside, but we're sort of in a dungeon. Yeah, so it's quite nice in summer. We were never too hot.
Yes.
But
just four seasons in one room.
Yes. So, you know, it's fine, but we're just a little bit chilly, but now we've got a blanket. So there you go. Oh, the nanas know what to do.
We felt like such nanas. We need a blanket over our knees.
Sound engineer went and found one.
I know.
Anyway, very excited to talk to today's guest, Mandy.
Yes, she is a Super P and she's a beautiful member of our hangout.
Yes.
So would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. My name is Lydia and I'm in Perth.
Yay. Yes. Lovely. So you're a few hours behind. We've got lots of gorgeous peas in Perth.
We do, yeah.
Yes, there are. And the sun is shining, ladies.
Of course
it's really warm here.
It's always warm there, isn't it?
Yes.
It's so warm. I've had to pull my blind down in the bedroom because sun is like
streaming
giving
in.
Me too much glare and I was just getting too sweaty. I was a bit nervous and I was like, I'm actually really sweaty.
Don't be nervous. You're just chatting with friends, right?
Yeah, that's right. Don't be nervous. Okay. No.
Even though I get a bit nervous sometimes on other people's things, so I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't be. We're just friends, right?
Okay.
We're just chatting.
Yeah.
So let's go with the first question. Do you have a song or music that help you or you love to have in the good times or the tricky times?
So I was trying to, you know, look into this a bit and think about it. So I guess for me and the kids, we use This Is Me from The Greatest Showman.
Yes. Oh, it's the ultimate P song.
It is the ultimate P song.
Yes. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah. And the other one that I really like, again, which is like another P song, is Brave. By I'm going to get her name really wrong here now. Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah. That's how you say her name, I think.
What would happen? Say what you want to say.
Yeah.
And let your words fall out.
Yes.
You know, I want to see you be brave.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful song.
It's just got a really good rhythm, and the words are just amazing. So we love music. We've always got music on. We've got, you know, music in the car.
Yeah.
Yep.
Quite a. You know, a variety of stuff.
Yeah.
Same.
And the kids will play music and sing and things like that.
Oh,
so.
Beautiful.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's good.
You're the Von Trapps.
The Von Trapps
are a drummer. I've got a piano player.
Gorgeous.
And a singer.
Oh, yeah. that's the best.
Little band.
Yeah.
And if I was to go back, you know, like to music, to kind of pick me up, as well as those songs, I like going back to music from like my teens.
Yeah.
And get those memories and stuff. So yeah. I love, and I was listening to it just earlier, I love the Cranberries.
Oh, yes.
Yes, me too.
And yeah. That was the first band that I ever saw live. I was 15.
Oh.
And it was like so cool, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how my parents let me get a bus and head out into the country and watch this band, but it was a, I went
they
with
were a
friend.
They were a huge
and, yeah.
worldwide hit.
What decade was that when you saw them?
It would have been in the 90s. Yep. I think it was about 1994 maybe. So right. I was about 15, giving away my age.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
That's all right. I was about 6 or 7
years
old.
Yeah, so I reckon, I was about,
Yeah. So, well, I just think parents didn't care as much.
Yeah.
She wants to go. Thank God.
I know.
15, that's a good age for parents wanting to their daughters to get out of the house.
Yes.
I know. Like I had to go into the city and then catch a bus from there that was going directly to the concert.
Right.
Did you have someone with you?
Yeah, so I went with a girl who was a friend and a neighbour.
Yeah.
But, like, I think now,
I know.
Oh, my goodness,
no
I couldn't
way.
Imagine.
No.
And I could not imagine.
Just in case people can't pick up, you are Irish. That's your background. So you were in Ireland at the time.
I was in Ireland, So I was in Cork City, and the concert would have been in Mill Street, which is just like a small little country town kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you had to get on the coach that was going directly there to the concert and then get that coach back into the city. And then I think we caught like the last bus
home. To get home.
Yeah. You know, the public transport and things like that.
But buzzing.
Yeah.
Absolutely
amazing.
Buzzing.
No iPhones.
No. Can't record
nothing.
It. You just got to live it.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't call your parents
call your parents.
Oh, I'm just leaving now.
No. I think
Our
your parents.
Waiting up for me.
Yeah, they'll wait up for you. They'll just have another cup of tea.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Watch the three channels at a lot, you know, free to air. Oh, those were the terrible days.
They were.
Anyway, let's keep going.
Yes. Did you win any awards at school?
No. Like I was asking my parents the other night because I was on FaceTime to them.
Yep.
And we kind of decided that there weren't really awards at school in my day.
Yep.
So, I mean, through primary school, I was always quite academic. You know, I was, you know, would have been doing quite well. But then when I got to high school and was in that bigger pool, I realized, you know, that I was just I was about average.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was fine. But I was, I did win a lot of trophies for being a majorette.
Oh, is that like baton twirling?
That is like baton twirling and marching.
We know someone.
Were there bagpipes associated with this procession?
No, ours was more like the marching, like the music.
Yes.
And I remember the guy who trained us was like, you know, ex-army. So he was like a proper drill type of guy. Oh, but I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. And the twirling and the baton and all that.
The costumes.
Yeah, the dress. And I would march in the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yes, of course.
You know, and then twirl the baton and things. Yeah. So Irish.
So Irish. Have you got photos of this?
Yeah, we need photos. We need proof.
I need to get my parents onto that.
Yes.
Because I don't have any here. Mm. No. It's just all memories.
Yeah.
The best. Nowhere near as fun, but I used to play my flute in a marching band for the Anzac Day Parade and the Moomba Festival in Melbourne.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, great.
I loved it.
So
Moomba's a ridiculous thing that...
It's not ridiculous.
What is it?
It's a Melbourne festival.
It's like we have floats.
Where
people watch dressed up cars. But anyway.
Yes. That's the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yeah.
Community groups.
And we get a long weekend.
There's rides and.
Yeah, it's a fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And someone beats the king and queen of Moomba.
Yeah, and the river and the water skiing.
Water skiing and the birdmen.
Yeah.
Jumping into the Yarra.
Anyway, whatever.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That was my claim to fame, marching in Moomba.
Take it. Okay, so the most important question, why are you a P?
Okay, so I am a P because my eldest is my son, mm-hmm. and he has Tourette syndrome. Mm-hmm. And I then have twin girls, mm-hmm. and one of those girls has ADHD and anxiety,
right?
As well,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm a radiographer, so yes. I'm a professional.
Yes, yes, you are.
And I am also now studying to be a teacher. So hopefully we'll be more of a teacher.
Yes, I think you will.
I think you sure will.
100%. So when did you move here? Pre-children, post-children?
Yes, pre-children. So my husband is Australian. Yes. We met traveling through Africa.
Of course.
Years ago. As you do.
Yeah.
As you do. And then, we went back to the UK. Once I'd done all my traveling and everything, he came back to the UK with me. We ended up getting married over there, and then we decided that we would settle in Australia. Mm. So we came back here, and it was about 2007, something like that.
Yeah.
After that, we got married, yeah.
Was he from Perth originally? Does he have family there?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
We came in 2007, and then lived with his parents for a while we settled in, we started work and everything, and found a house, got a dog, and had kids.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little
bit? It all kind of went to plan.
About the early years with your son?
Yeah. So the pregnancy, the birth, everything was straightforward. Mm-hmm. He was developing fine. And when he was about two, I reckon it was, he started what appeared to be a blinking tick. Mm-hmm. And I noticed it, and I remember saying, my mother-in-law, who's passed away now, but at the time she was a nurse, and I said to her, I think Ruri has a tick, what do you think? And she was like, oh, well, these things can come and go. We'll just keep an eye on it. And I said, yeah, okay, fair enough. You're right, And then I remembered that I'd had a tick when I was a kid.
Oh.
And it was like some facial things and, scrunching my nose and lips and things like that. And that went away. So I was like, oh, this might go away. And so then the girls were born. And then he had another tick. And that was like a throat clearing one. That type of thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's a bit strange. That's another one.
And how old was he then?
So he was about three. It was after the girl. So he's about three and a half, I reckon.
Yep.
And then so he went to school, and the school was just local. It was nice and close because I had twins and a pram.
Yes.
He didn't really do well there. He was obviously, looking back now, we know that he was, the naughty one, the tricky one.
Yeah.
And things like that. And so we moved him schools, and then when we moved him at the end of like his pre-primary year, he started a swearing tick.
Yeah, right.
And then I knew that it was Tourette's. Like I'd heard enough about it. Years previous, I'd seen a documentary on Tourette syndrome, and I was just a little bit familiar with it.
Yes.
And so as soon as the swearing tick came up, I thought, yeah, okay, we need to do something about this. We need to go check it out and not just think that these are things that are coming and going.
Yeah. So during this time, you got pregnant with twin girls.
Yes.
And are they identical or fraternal?
So they are fraternal.
Yep.
And that was a trickier pregnancy, obviously, being multiples. Mm-hmm. And I also had placenta previa, which is the placenta covering the cervix. Yes. So I was never going to birth them naturally. Mm. And at the time, I didn't really know, and it wasn't really explained, the risks and the complications that could occur because of that. And you just go along, But then at about, it was 28 weeks, I started bleeding.
Mm.
And so I'd done quite well to get to 28. And this was a complete shock. Nobody had, even though my obstetrician was amazing, he hadn't really kind of warned us that I could potentially, have a bleed.
Yeah.
So we ended up in hospital, basically. And I kind of went to the emergency at the Women's and Children's Hospital and was brought in. And then because of the bleeding, you end up having contractions. And,
scary.
So basically I was kept in for a weekend. They ended up giving me the steroid just in case they had to get the babies out, that type of thing. So that was it was just like quite traumatic in itself. But then at the end of the weekend, they go, oh, so you're going home and you'll be fine, but you could have another bleed and you just come straight back in. But the next bleed could be catastrophic. It's really important that, like, you come straight in.
You're like, great, thanks.
Okay, but like, I might be at the park with my two-year-old.
Like,
and
what?
Yes.
It was just, you
very
know,
scary.
And so it was really scary. So one nurse had told us that, you know, you're going to be on bed rest for the rest of your pregnancy. And I was like, well, I can't do that. I've got a two-year-old. And then someone else was saying, oh, no, we'll send you home, but you'll just have to rest at home. And I was thinking, well, how is this going to work? You know, like, it's just, and then, so I had a bit of rest. And I remember as basically my husband wouldn't let me do very much, and that lasted about a week. And I was on the couch watching the Australian Open. And then I was like, I have to get up. I have to do stuff, you know, and I'm, you know, I've had enough tennis. So I just like gently started doing a few things around the house. And then before you know it, I was out and about and doing, I was back doing the shopping. And, I went, I remember it. So the day everything happened was, it would have been, I think it was a Saturday. So in the morning I was at a multiple births breastfeeding workshop.
I'm going to find out
everything.
And how many weeks were you?
32. And in the afternoon I went and did my food shopping, and then I get home. In also during all of this, we had started renovations to our house.
Of course. Perfect time.
Yes. Because you haven't got enough going on.
No.
You need no roof and
no
toilets.
So my husband is there, my brother, who was living in Perth at the time, they're packing up like a bookshelf and everything. And I come in and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm okay, you know. And then I just, I go to the bathroom and I have
not
this massive bleed. And I just yelled out for my husband, you know, and my obstetrician had said, you're going to need to get an ambulance. You need to come in straight away. The next bleed will be a big one. And so I ended up in an ambulance and arriving at, so then my husband is making calls of ambulance, obstetrician, and his dad to come and get my son.
That's right.
In that order. And ended up at King Edward Memorial Hospital here in Perth, which is that Women's and Children's Hospital. So because I was, you know, before a certain amount of weeks, you had to go there. And it was multiples. But my obstetrician still had admitting rights, which is really good. So he actually then was there at the hospital as I arrived from the ambulance. He beat me to it. And so I saw his lovely face as I was being wheeled in.
So nice to see someone you know.
It's
comforting.
So just reassuring. He was like, you're going to be fine, at which point I, you know, I just burst into tears. And I was like, oh, my God. Just what is happening? And, yeah, so I did have one more big bleed in hospital, and they were born that night, basically. It was emergency cesarean. And so they were 32 plus 2. And – you know, really were fine, other than they were 1.7 and 1.8 kilos.
Little bubbles.
Little but not tiny, tiny, you know. But, and just really needed a little bit of help, like a bit of CPAP for a while. And, you know, they spent about 6-7 weeks in between intensive care and then the special care. But all of that time, I also had a two-year-old.
And your heart's ripped in two.
Three.
You know, well, you want to be in the hospital and you want to be at home.
It was just, it was so traumatic, you know, that I ended up with really bad PND and really bad and PTSD. I was later very much involved with the Multiple Birth Association here in Perth, and I could not walk into, I couldn't, like, I used to get, and of course the rooms and the where we used to hold our events was next to that hospital.
Of course. Yes.
And I would, like,
that's reason
get
not
so
to
much
do
anxiety.
That. Yes.
I would get so much anxiety and my heart would be pounding. Even driving,
yes.
I didn't even notice until I actually went and saw somebody and spoke about it, but even driving that road to the hospital.
Mm. I totally know that.
Heartbeat goes
so that
up
was
a bit.
Incredible. Yeah. And I remember the first time I walked in and I walked as far as the NICU, and it was, we'd had an event, and the beautiful lady that I was volunteering with, Jenny, who's, you know, mum of twins, she lives in Melbourne now. Mm. Hi, Jenny. we were taking food that was left over from our event, and we were just delivering it into the nurses in the NICU. Mm. And she was like, oh, come on, you know, grab that tray and everything. Oh, and I was thinking to myself, oh, I can't, like, I don't know if I can do this. And I didn't want to say anything out loud. Mm. And so I just went, and I'm carrying these trays and stuff. And and I got as far as there. And I did it. And this, you know, this was months, like a year, over a year later.
It doesn't matter.
You know?
No.
And, we got there, we delivered the food. And then basically on the way back out, I just, you know, I just looked at her and I just started crying. And she's like, oh, my goodness, are you okay? And I said, oh, thank you for bringing me in. Like, oh gosh, I've got goosebumps.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe that's the first time I've been back there.
Mm.
You know, and she's like, oh, I didn't even think about it. I'm so sorry. And I was like, no, it's, you know, it was like that little small step that because I hadn't given it much thought beforehand and just going on and going through with it, you know, probably if I'd put any thought into it, you know, and been trying to plan it, I would have been even more anxious about it.
Yes, I think so.
But
too.
It was kind of a spur of the moment thing.
Yes.
Mm.
So that was a big kind of step forward.
Yes.
And then after that, because I had kind of done that, I was then able to talk myself through that I could, you know, maybe go to the door or, you know, things. Because the worst day for me was leaving the hospital, being discharged as a mum and having to leave those two babies. Mm. And I remember I was talking to the social worker and, oh my goodness, I was trying to find every reason.
Yes, let me
you know,
stay
for me
day.
To stay,
yes.
You know, and she was like, you know, and my obstetrician was so good. He was amazing. He was like, don't worry, I'll let you stay. I'll write you up. I was a private patient, but I knew this is a public hospital. Mm. You know, they're going to need the bed and I'm going to have to go at some point, you know, but it was just tearing me apart. And then walking out of the hospital,
you just never forget
you'll never forget it.
Never forget. Just, I remember just like sobbing, never sobbing like that in my life.
Yep.
Walking down the hospital corridor with everyone just walking past you.
I know.
Like going about their life, you know?
I know.
And
you feel like saying, I've had a baby, I've had two babies.
Yeah, and I'm leaving them.
I know, and I'm going home and I don't have a baby. And then I had to go home, and because the state of our house, we were had to move in with my in-laws.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
And I'm like pumping.
Every 3 hours.
Pumping for them every 3 hours for the milk bank.
Yes,
and,
yes. And were you missing your own mum and dad? Were they still around and in your life?
Yeah, that was hard. So they came out, you know, after the girls came out of hospital.
Yeah.
They didn't know when it was a good time to come. And we didn't know. We had no idea what was going to happen.
Mm.
And then, so they did come out when the girls were really little. And we had to, our house wasn't even finished. So we had to go and stay. Thankfully, my sister-in-law has a lovely holiday home.
Right.
And so we went and stayed there while our floors were being polished and all the rest of it.
Lydia.
And then we were able to come back. So they were able to help us as well with like moving a few things back in and that type of thing. So that was invaluable.
Mm.
But to be honest, like, I don't even remember some of it.
No.
Like, I don't remember even those early years. I get a lot of these Facebook memories, you know, like the little videos and the photos and things like that, because I did then go on to have quite bad PND and things that, like, a lot of it is just such a blur.
Mm. How did you recognize the PND? Did somebody else?
So I had a lovely child health nurse who came to visit and basically was chatting And I said to her, you know, I don't really, you know, I don't feel great. And I'm crying all the time and, you know, and everything. And my son, he's so, like, he was just, like, I was finding him super annoying. You know, like, he's just being a toddler. But, you know, and I think, he was about three. And he was so smart, like, so articulate. So everyone always thought he was much older than what he was because he was so articulate and so and quite tall for his age. So people had quite high expectations of him, but he was like a three-year-old or something. She said, okay, well, I want you to go and ring your GP. And I was like, yeah, I will. And she's like, no, I'm watching the babies. I want you to go and get the phone and ring your GP now.
Oh, good maternal.
And, she was great. So that started it all off. Then I went and got the help that I needed, which was good.
Did you need to do any residential stay or anything? Or you were...
No, I didn't. I mean, later, like, so since then I have had anxiety and depression on and off, like, I've been just managing it. And so there was a time again later on where I took myself to a unit and, but I haven't been as an inpatient. A lot of them have said, you don't want to do this because it's, you know, the public system, a lot of the mental health is filled with.
Well, it's very serious cases.
Yeah. And a lot of it, where I am, I had a beautiful, beautiful mental health nurse who would come out and she said, you don't want to be an inpatient because a lot of the people there are actually trying to come off drugs.
Yeah, it's tough. So it's different,
difficult because it's different. Of, you know, it's a different scenario, different mental health cases and stuff. And so basically I would have visits at home. And, you know, that was,
But you had to make your own dinner still, which is.
And get babies to sleep and be dressed and bathed and a two-year-old. And
Or even now. Like, I had,
Yeah, I had some help from the Red Cross. I think it was the they do like some in-home assistance for people who like don't have like family support close by and who are like with PND and things like that.
Oh, that's good.
So I had this lovely lady who came for a few months and just she would help us get out of the house and go to the park. Know, and
Which
prepare
when
dinner.
You don't have
that
twins
evening.
Or triplets, you don't understand.
No.
So when I say get out of the house with twins, it's a big deal.
You leave one in the house if you're going in the car, carry one down, then come back to the house, get the other one. You're like, which one's crying? Then they're both screaming. You can't describe it.
Where do you trap the two-year-old?
Where? I know. Yeah. I know.
Then and you've forgotten your bag.
And you're like, oh, no, the dummy. I left a dummy. Oh, no. You go to the chemist, get everyone out of the fucking car.
Buy one dummy.
Oh, I know. There's just no words for it.
There's no words.
And you get to the park and everyone's like, how's your morning? You're like, oh, I'm good. See ya.
It's time to go home.
We're just going home. I'm getting McDonald's.
The four-month-olds are having a fry. I mean, anyway, it's, enough about our dysfunction.
Sorry,
No, it's so true, and people don't get it. I was lucky in that as part of our mother's group that I had with my son, we had a lovely little group of us that still met up like years later for the second and third kids and things like that. And two of us ended up having twins.
That's awesome. Yes.
So
that helps.
The other girl had twin boys and I had twin girls and they're about the same age actually. So it was so interesting. At least, you know, there was someone else around that kind of get it. Then, of course, the only thing was, of course, that then I had the Prem twins and then so you end up, it's just different.
It's a different journey,
It's different.
Different again. Different again.
Different.
But, so and then we went down the path of, you know, with them, they had a few little developmental things and we had OT and speech and physio and all, and they would, I was listening to one of the podcasts the other day about how the twins would always just go to these things together.
Yes.
And that's what we did, you know, like only one of them needed speech play group, but both of them benefited because we would always just go together.
Yeah.
That's
right.
The other one was always included.
Yes. Yeah, they are each other's therapists.
Yeah, as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And so your son, during all of this, he was, what was happening?
He was probably tricky, you know, that's the word that I could say. And again, like I was trying to decipher, was it because he's all of a sudden there's twin babies, there's two babies that I'm trying to look after, you know, I wasn't in a great space. We're trying to navigate this new world together. It was just, it was tricky. And I guess it didn't really come out. Like I'm really hesitant to use like behavior issues and things like that. I need to look beyond, I like looking beyond the behavior. You know, but there were lots of those little issues back then. And so later on when we got the diagnosis of things, it was helpful because we could look back and go, aha, that's right. Why.
That makes sense. How old was he when you got the formal diagnosis of Tourette's?
So he was probably in year one. So he's about six.
Is there a typical age? Or is there, like, when people that's young for that? Or, that took a long time? Or
yeah, so he would probably be, like, the typical kind of early onset and how it developed. It developed, you know, you start off with those tics, quite simple tics, and then they started developing into more complex ones. Uh-huh. And the that age of diagnosis is kind of – pretty common, I think, about seven, eight. And of course, you can't get a diagnosis of Tourette syndrome until you've had at least 12 months of tics.
Okay.
And you have to have had both motor tics and vocal tics.
Oh, okay. Right.
So because there's, you know, you can have a tic disorder where you've just got one or the other. And with Tourette syndrome, the tics, they do wax and wane. So the tics, they come and they go. Mm. And we can have like little waves and then peaks and troughs, like a roller coaster. So when we initially went and saw the neurologist, first it was a pediatrician. And he said, oh, yeah, it probably is Tourette syndrome, but you don't need to call it that if you don't want to.
Okay.
And I thought, well.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, yeah. And. Like,
I think it's because they think they think there's a stigma.
Stigma. That's
and
what
so
I'm thinking.
Think by not saying this one word, the stigma won't exist. But people, it doesn't change anything.
And it doesn't. That's right. I'm like, well, he still has Tourette syndrome. Yes. So why don't we just say what it is?
Yes.
You know, that doesn't bother me.
No, not at all. And it shouldn't bother him.
And it's just part of who he is.
Yes, that's right. It's not
only
all of who he is.
It's a small part. Yeah, absolutely. So we then were told we needed like a neurologist for an official diagnosis. Yes. So then you go to a neurologist and then they say, well, they're only going to diagnose once it's been more than 12 months. So we had an initial appointment and then a few months later, once it was more than the 12 months, we went back and he's like, yeah, well, there it is. Okay. And I won't see you again now. I'm happy for you to be managed by your pediatrician.
Okay.
Oh. So,
and look, that's what a lot of people find with Tourette syndrome is that they just get the diagnosis and then it's like, okay, see you later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So there's no follow-up from that level. Just go back to your pediatrician and then go from there.
Okay. Yep.
And is there parent support groups or
where did you
support groups for the children themselves or I don't know?
So I basically then found the Tourette Syndrome Association of Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And very much there's like the Facebook, the national Facebook group. And then, you know, it's just, I know there's all this negative connotations around social media, but oh my goodness, it's so good for connecting with people.
It's life-changing
actually.
Yes.
It really is. And so that's, you know, you find your tribe, don't you?
Yes, you do.
You know, and it happened with the Multiple Birth Association with the girls, you know, and I did a lot of volunteering with them. And then, of course, you get the Tourette's Association. And so went along, there was like a support group here in Perth. So we went, took Rory along, my son, to meet some people and meet other kids with Tourette's, which was important.
Yes.
For him to see that there are other kids like him.
Mm.
Yeah. there are other kids who have these little movements or say these things.
And how did he feel when he saw other children?
Yeah, he was fine because it just didn't faze him really at all. I think now that he's a bit older, like so he's now 12, and so he's a little bit more self-conscious about things. Mm-hmm. He started high school.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to be the one to stand out and things like that. So he
does
try and suppress.
Yeah.
No, that's right. That's right. So, but yeah, it was great meeting, you know, and especially for the parents to share, you know, their journey as well. And to see that what, you know, you're going through as a parent with all of this, other parents, they just get it.
Yeah. Mm. You don't have to explain anything.
No.
Yeah.
And Tourette's is so much more than just tics.
Yes.
That's the thing. So there are lots of, you know, things like sensory processing type issues. There's all the anxiety type issues. There's the obsessive compulsive. So there's lots of coexisting things that come along with it. All the dysregulation and the disinhibition. So, you know, the no filter. And people don't think about that.
Not being neurotypical, I suppose, isn't it? And
that's
just,
right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just don't, people just don't even think about it.
It's because you see Tourette's on TV and it's just someone that might swear.
And it's in movies and it's really taken the piss out of them.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
so
not nice.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much about the swearing. That's like that public perception.
Yeah, it is.
And so I guess for me, knowing that that's not what Tourette's is, that's kind of become my goal, is to get as much awareness out there as possible. You know, so that's why I became involved with the association. Plus the ladies at the support group were like, okay, we've done our few years of running the support group. We're looking for someone else to do it.
Well, that's fair. That's what happens, doesn't it?
It really does. Yep.
It is. And it rotates onto the next, you know, the new people that come through.
Yep. Yeah. And they've got the new fired up passion and energy and
Yes.
So how long did you do
that
for?
So that's been me.
That's been you. You are still there.
I'm still there. Okay. Yeah. Because I tried to stop. I gave it up last year for a little bit and nobody took it on.
Yeah. And then you've worked too hard.
I took it back on again.
And it's so important.
Yeah.
It really is. So I think it's been two or three years maybe or something, but our Tourette's Association is just fantastic, amazing. Mm. They do amazing things for our community and we have our camp program. So I was able to, you know, do the first Tourette's camp for families here in WA.
Oh, good job, Lydia.
Oh, so
that
good.
Was beautiful.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, these families used to have to travel to either Melbourne or Sydney.
Yeah, it's a long way and it's costly. Yes.
Yes.
And exhausting.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can make local friends. Well, you know, okay, we've been on camp together. We can see you in a month.
Mm.
Not like, oh, you live in Melbourne, you live in Sydney. Mm. Yeah.
Yes,
much
so you connect with people. So good. So now we've got camps all over Australia and all the major cities.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, so it's so good. So we've got another camp here in Perth coming up in October, hopefully.
Fingers
COVID
crossed,
pending.
COVID
obviously,
willing.
It was cancelled last year.
Yes.
And I hope, we have regular kind of, when we can. I mean, you know, I'm busy, everyone's busy, but when we can, we try and have like little get-togethers and meetups and stuff.
Mm.
And
yes.
I try and organize coffee things for the mums and stuff like that, you know.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Can you tell us a little bit about school and what that was like in primary school for your son and for you?
Yeah, so he was actually pretty good. And I guess because we've always been really open about the fact that he has tics, Tourette's, is that umbrella, ADHD, he's always wanted to be able to explain it.
Yes.
So when he was really little, so in those early years, like we would explain it like it's like you've got hiccups in your brain, you know, for those little kids. And we would say, and we would tell the teachers to tell the little kids, you know, it's, you know, just explain to the kids that it's a bit like having hiccups and you can't stop your body from making these sounds and these movements and he's got to do it. And the kids just accepted that.
Yes, yeah, kids, of course they do.
Of course.
They do.
They do.
It was, yeah, it was just easy.
Yep.
And then as he got a little bit older, he actually would say, Mum, I want to tell the kids about it.
Okay.
And I'm like, great.
Yes.
And he would write and stand up at the top of the class and make a little, you know, a little presentation or something. And it was good because the Tourette's Association have their, they have like a few little video clips and stuff that you can use at schools.
Yes.
And so he would use one of those and then he would explain what it's like for him, you know, and how things are for him. Because, you know, one kid with Tourette's is one kid with Tourette's.
Yes.
No two kids are going to be the same. No, now they can have similar tics.
Yes.
But they are all so unique. So he would talk about how it, you know, was for him in his life. And he did that a couple of times just to remind kids.
Yes. And well, I remember new groups of kids come along and then younger kids join the school. And,
Yeah. I remember one day as well. So he would have been about seven and the kids in the class, he was in the, like the reading corner or something and he was swearing.
Mm.
And one of the kids was saying, oh, you know, you're swearing and I'm going to tell the teacher. And one of the other kids said, oh, but remember, he's got those hiccups in his brain and he can't help it. So, so nice. You know,
so nice.
It, the kid, like little things like that, the kids will remember.
Did you, and, did you have friends in the schoolyard as well? Or did people ostracize you or?
No, I didn't experience that. Look, we had a couple of things that there were, again, because the whole neurodiversity probably wasn't 100% understood by some people, kids and parents. There was someone who told the kids to stay away from him, requested that he wasn't in their class. You know, the usual. The usual.
Yep.
But he was always pretty good at standing up for himself.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
So far, and even recently in high school, someone – I think started saying something to him, and he's got a, at the moment he has a head turning tic. So he looks over his left shoulder.
Yeah.
And this kid in one of his classes was like, oh, you know, why do you keep looking at me? And my son's like, oh, I'm not looking at you. Sorry. It's a tic. You know, this other kid who, you know, well, what's that? What's a tic? And, and so he explained it to him. The kids don't know, like, they don't know what they don't know.
That's right. Well, he's doing an awesome job advocating for himself, isn't he?
I think so. I think he's doing okay. Like, a few other kids said something else recently, and he just went straight and told a teacher, and then the teacher dealt with it.
Great.
You know?
Yeah.
You
don't always have to deal with it yourself.
No, that's right. And I think he knows when he can.
Yes.
And then when he needs to ask for help.
Yes, good. That's amazing.
No, you've role modeled beautifully to him.
Amazing. Yeah. So.
Well, it gives you more comfort when you're sending him off to school to know that he knows when to ask for help and when to stand up for himself.
Yeah, it's good. And he's got some friends that have come from his primary school into the high school as well.
Good.
So that's always, you know, that's always really nice.
Yeah. And how are the girls?
Good. So my daughter, she was always, I guess you never really want to compare, do you?
Right.
You don't want to compare twins.
No. It's very hard.
It's very hard.
You've got to compare and contrast,
yes.
Right there.
Yes. And I always said this whenever we went to like appointments or anything. I said, I'm not comparing, but I do have this one as a benchmark.
Yes, that's the truth.
Yes.
Yep. And then this other one is just, you know, this is where we're sitting. So that was quite helpful. So in school, my little pea shoot was so disorganized, always losing stuff, always, you know, and the teachers would meet me at the door with, you know, a roll of the eyes.
Yes.
And, oh, you know, she's done this or she's done that or, oh, running out after her with her bag, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just, it's little things. She's, you know, she's little.
Yeah.
And
what's weird though is, I'm just going to butt in. Teachers,
that's okay.
You would think, having been amazing educators and seen so many children, would maybe go, oh, this beautiful little pea shoot, it's a little bit more than just general disorganization. We know that can be a form of being neurodiverse or neuroatypical, and also that's a disability. So we will give her more support. We won't roll our eyes at the parent.
I know.
You know, because if that child was in a wheelchair, no one would roll their eyes, right?
No.
And it stabs me in the heart that we do this to children and to the parents, everyone laughs. It's fine. It's not fine. Destroys self-esteem.
It really does. Mm. It really does. And I was having to make suggestions to the teachers, you know, about putting in, you know, little visual cues for her.
Yes.
So, you know, because at the end of the day, when they have their routine set up in the classroom, you know, for packing away your pencil case, putting your chair on the stack, whatever it is that's at the end of the day, she wasn't able to do these tasks. She wasn't remembering.
It's too many things in a row.
Too many things.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah.
And she's already had the whole day at school.
Yeah, and she's been masking probably and fitting in and doing everything else. And so,
And so I suggested to the teacher just having a little chart thing on her desk, and she just has to tick off, you know, to remind her of the little jobs that she needs to do, and she can tick them off as she goes. Oh, wow, that's a great idea.
Sorry. Just
Wow.
How did you think of that?
Amazing.
Imagine that. So funny. So and that worked really well.
Yes, surprise.
Believe it or not.
I do.
Yes. And so she didn't have a diagnosis at this point, but I was kind of, you know, things were hitting me and I was just thinking, I'm just going to I didn't want to take the wait and see approach, but I just thought maybe she's a bit young.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I wanted to see if she started developing these skills.
Mm.
Anyway, it was becoming evident that she wasn't. And she had an amazing teacher the following year.
Yay.
Who basically said to me one day, you know, it was at the start of the year when she was doing all her diagnostic assessments and stuff for the year. And she said, oh, you know, I'm just not getting the I'm not seeing her potential.
Wow.
You know, like she's extremely bright and yet the she's not able to get the work on the page. And I just burst into tears and I was like, sorry, there goes my mic. And I thought, oh my goodness, okay, I think I know what this is.
Yes.
And she was like, you know, is everything okay? And I was like, oh, I've been putting this off. Probably a little bit didn't want to hear these things, you know, again. We'd been down this road before.
It's confronting. And also you're tired.
And you know what it's going to mean.
Goodness. So tired.
Yeah.
Can't do another thing.
Yeah.
Just making three lunches is enough.
Yes. Without thinking about the new therapy and the appointments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got her off to see a pediatrician, and she, you know, we did all the assessments and everything. And yeah, she was diagnosed with ADHD. And I walked into the classroom and I high-fived the teacher. And she was like, oh, amazing. You know, right, yeah. Now we know.
Now we know.
Now we know, and let's just move forward. She ended up having that teacher for 2 years in a row.
Oh, such a blessing.
That would have been helpful.
Yeah. She was amazing. Mm. Yeah, so she thrived with her, really. Yeah. You know, she was so creative. And she went from basically being able to write, you know, just a couple of lines on the page, and then having the right medication and putting some strategies in place to being able to write stories, pages and
yes.
pages.
Yes.
Oh. Stories that she wanted to
yes.
tell.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, diagnosis is really, really powerful.
So powerful. Mm. And we're still, you know, on that journey with her. She's only 9.
Yeah.
Yep. Still, you know, lots of emotion regulation yes. type stuff.
Yes.
We've got lots of stuff around the house that she uses.
Yep.
You know, gym balls rolling around the place.
Yeah. Yep.
Lots of squeezy things yep. and all that type of stuff.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, lots of – we have lots and lots of putty, you know, that like yeah.
Oh,
putty.
Yes.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. Yep. And she recently discovered that the kind of the magic sand.
Oh, yeah.
Or something.
Kinetic sand. Yeah. Yep, we have that too all the time.
Oh,
it's actually fun. You find yourself playing with it when they go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my own coloured kinetic sand.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting for your birthday.
Oh, thank you.
It's like, what am I going to get her?
I'll be like, you can't touch this. It's mine.
Got it.
All right. I find myself when we're at the OT, I'm the one sitting there with like the squeezy toys or like stroking the fluffy cushion.
Yes.
You know, because
it's really nice.
So soothing.
Yeah. It is so soothing.
Right.
Yep. 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 There's a lot to be said for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, is there anything that you think we really need to know, especially maybe about the Tourette's that you haven't told us? Because we feel like we're a bit of rectums when it comes to that.
I feel like a Tourette rectum.
Yeah, yeah. I know Scholarship had two of her good friends when she was at her other school had Tourette's. I didn't really think anything about it. Like I just knew that's who they were. But I never thought of even talking to their parents about it or anything. I was just like, oh, because they were really cool kids, you know. But, now I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, what do we need to know?
What do we need to know?
Well, I guess I've probably already said, you know, that each kid is going to be different.
Yes.
But also we don't get – so kids with Tourette's don't get any funding.
Yeah.
So we don't have access to NDIS.
Yeah.
We don't, because they do not consider Tourette's to be a lifelong condition.
Same as ADHD.
Yeah.
Even though the new research is very, very clear that it is.
Yes.
But they don't want to add anybody else to the NDIS, so they won't. And the NDIS is not supposed to be diagnosis-based.
That's right.
Mm.
This is where it gets so frustrating.
Mm.
Yeah. That it's not meant to be diagnosis-based, that it's, you know, it's based on need.
Yes.
Individual need.
Mm.
And look, there are some families there who have navigated this space quite well and who have, I think it's all about, you know, how you
word
do
it.
Your documentation and word your stuff. And you know, probably at the moment we're okay. Like, you know, but I know that there are lots of families out there.
I know.
Whose kids have, you know, much more extreme Tourette's than what we're dealing with and that don't have access.
Yeah, it's not
right.
Know,
and then you get pushed to have like an autism diagnosis.
Right. I know.
So that you can get NDIS.
Yes.
It just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
I can see how that is the case.
Yes.
Yes.
And then what's happening with that is that now to get funding through the NDIS with autism, it has to be more and more severe. So kids are now missing out anyway.
So it's
just the whole thing. Even though, look, we love the NDIS. We think it's amazing.
Yes.
It's still really,
it's a bit fraught.
It's very fraught.
It's,
and it's tricky.
It's tricky.
If you're living with the desperate need of being able to pay for therapies.
Yes.
And you
and
can't.
Then you see other people like, oh, free this, free that, yes. free this, free that.
Yeah. But, you know, and it is expensive. And when you have more than one child that
right.
needs, you know, OT and psychology and, you know, speech or whatever it may be.
Mm.
But, and also there are lots of adults in our community with Tourette's.
Yes.
And so we know that it's not a childhood.
Yes,
no.
of course.
There are lots of adults
yes.
with Tourette's syndrome. And our awareness campaign this year is based around adults with Tourette's because
that's
they're
a really
often
good idea.
Very much forgotten.
Of course. Yes. Is there a national day or a week or?
There's a week, so it's May 3rd to 9th, which is the same as your
Pee Week.
International Pee Week. That's right. That's
Yay.
What we talked about. Yeah.
yeah. So, yeah, it's – and every year we have like – we try and do a specific focus
yep.
or have like a little campaign slogan and things. And
yep.
this year it's about adults.
Yes.
Yep.
And, you know, workplace and – you know, discrimination
yes.
and access and
yes.
support and things like that. Yeah.
Mm.
We're very lucky with the camps that we have that we can get families together and support each other and things like that. And so if anybody wants any more information, it's at tourette.org.au.
Terrific.
Which we will put in the show notes.
We'll put everything in the show notes.
Scroll down and click on it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And there are support groups like around the country. So I run the one here in Perth, and there are multiple ones, you know, in different states. It's hard, you know, when they've obviously got great big states to have
yes.
support groups everywhere,
yeah.
but they're used over on the East Coast because of the population
yes.
on the
yes.
East Coast.
There'd be more.
There's more support groups and stuff. Mm. We do have only one here in WA, which is based in Perth, but
yeah.
I know there are families that are connected up in the north of WA,
yes.
which is quite nice.
Yeah, yes. good.
Well, we will share all of your information.
Yep. Everything. And we,
you,
yeah.
Ladies.
Yeah. Oh, we just thank you for giving us your time.
Yes.
And sharing
your
story.
Interesting life.
Yes. And to meet you. We're excited to meet you.
Yes. We've heard speak pipes. We've
yes, that's
seen
right.
messages in the hangout. When did you start listening to us?
So I was recommended by Annabelle Krepp.
Yes.
Our favorite.
Yeah. Another chatter.
yeah.
So, yes, from Chat 10. So yeah. I started, like, it's been a good while.
Yes, because she
years,
was she was October or September, wasn't she?
Of the first year.
Yeah.
2019.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's, I've been listening since then.
August maybe she was. It was early. Yep.
I remember, like, I'd be driving to work. So I have about an hour commute to work. So I'd drive to work and I'd be listening and I'd be like, crying and then I'd be laughing and I'd get into work and like I feel like I've run a marathon.
Yeah. I bet you did too.
Yeah.
And I had to skip a few of those early episodes because
yep.
they were like just so triggering. But I did go back.
Yep.
Once I'd kind
once you
of
got
gotten
to know
into
us.
The groove.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's just been amazing. Absolutely amazing. What you ladies have done in this community.
Well,
Well, everyone's welcome,
everyone's,
and that's what I'm proud about. It
yep.
doesn't matter the diagnosis.
Yeah. No,
it
we're
doesn't
all welcome.
Matter. Everybody's welcome.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 And it just creates, like, it gives us so much more depth in our life. I'm
yeah, that's
so
right. We
proud.
Love it.
Yes,
yeah. So proud.
And
love
I
love the
learn
P-tribe.
You every week as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
good.
Heaps.
And I was at work the other day, and I was telling them that I'm, you know, recording a podcast, and they're
yeah.
like, oh, what podcast is that? And so I was telling them two peas in a podcast, and one of the guys, Chris, our sonographer,
yeah.
was saying, oh, that sounds familiar. And I said, oh, okay. He wouldn't be like a typical listener,
yeah.
I suppose, I would say.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris. And I said, oh, so you've heard of them? And he said, yeah, now hang on. I think I heard Dylan Alcott talking
yes,
about
that. Yes, he did. Yes.
And I was saying, yes,
yes.
he would.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's us.
So, yeah, shout out to Dylan.
yes,
yes shout
you.
Out to Dylan. And maybe Chris is listening to this one. So hi, Chris.
Yeah, hi, Chris. Can that be good stenographer stenographing?
You have to listen.
I'll be sharing. So yeah, good. I'm glad. I'll be listening.
Oh, well, they'll be proud of you, Lydia. You're doing amazing work.
I will. You are.
Amazing voluntary work.
Yeah, let's say
that. So I want to commend you on that.
All these things are voluntary.
Yeah, and also good luck with your study because you're going to go on to do some amazing things.
Amazing teacher.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it at the minute, actually. Yeah. Really enjoying it. Great. So, yeah.
Good.
It's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Good on you.
Exciting.
Well, awesome. The P's will be cheering you on.
Yep, they will. The P's cheer everyone. Yeah, and one day, who knows, we might
get to Perth.
We'll
come to Perth if we can.
If we can.
Oh, we'd love
amazing.
To.
Oh.
Believe it or not, in 2021, Perth is the place that keeps getting shut down.
Yeah, which is amazing. You just had a 5-day lockdown.
Yes.
Yeah.
When we're recording this, you're just coming out of a lockdown.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Who would have thought?
Oh, we just never know when that other – you're just constantly waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
You know, our premier has got broken ribs and
– back.
Back and yes, he fell down some steps.
Yeah.
So it's really weird because there's been no Dan press conferences. Yes. And last year was all Dan
presses.
Every
single day.
Every day.
For like 8 months.
And it feels like COVID's not around because he's not around.
Yeah.
Even though we know it is and we're standing on the crosses and we're washing our hands.
Yeah.
It's so – you know, it's sort of like this reprieve, but it's not real.
No.
It can still come.
And we see the world around.
Oh, yeah, terrifying.
Oh, yes.
Awful.
It's awful.
So do you guys still have to wear masks?
No.
At the doctors, on public transport and in
the
Ubers.
Airport.
Yeah, airport.
Oh, yeah.
People wear them, though.
Yeah, people still wear them.
I'd say 20% of people wear them.
5 years ago, I'd be like, mask?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're wearing a mask, you're wearing a mask.
Yeah, we don't think about it. And I think if you're at all immunocompromised or you've got lungs or... Lungs.
But even I had a cold and I thought I'm going to put mine back on.
Yes, I feel like it's really good
for that.
So that's
really sensible now.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of wearing a mask when you've got a cold.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who
it's
knew?
It's just changing.
I've probably got 40, so.
Yeah. We got so many. Anyway, we should leave you be, but thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much, ladies.
You did a wonderful job. Bye.
Oh, I love talking to Lydia.
Oh.
I liked her lilting voice.
Oh, no. And I just like meeting people in the hangout. It's so wonderful.
It's so great.
To get to know them. And, she's doing important work and she's learning.
Yep. She's teaching.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. So anything make you cry this week, Jose?
Yes. I think I just had a bit of overwhelm.
Yeah.
Just crying with a bit of overwhelm. Yeah.
Our lives have been slightly busy.
Yeah, that's right. And just, Monday morning I was just getting everyone ready for school and I just started crying and I thought, I don't know. And then later that afternoon, period.
But it's nature's way of letting those emotions out.
I know, but I was like, and they're like, why are you crying? I was like, I don't know. But you know those tears that you're just like,
the big
and I'm
fat
going
ones.
Out to the bin and I'm like, just calm down, stop crying. You know, just. Anyway, that was it. Nothing specific. What about you?
Okay, well, actually what made me cry was, and I will protect all the names and won't actually go into it much, but there was a post in the Hangout. And let's just say a parent was in a public place with their child and someone walked up to that parent and said, what's wrong with them?
Oh.
And it was just, you could see this parent, just the way they posted, was so shattered by someone saying that about their precious, precious child who doesn't get to go out much.
No.
And I just cried. Yeah. I just thought, we've got so far to go.
We do.
You know?
You think you're making little inroads in this world.
Yes.
And then boom.
And so... you know, my thing is, if you listen to this podcast and you think, oh, you know who'd do good to listen to this? Jerry. Jerry, tell Jerry to listen. Because it's not, we're not calling people out, but the more people that are aware of things, then the less hurtful stuff has to be said.
And interestingly, people in the Hangout that are like, well, what would you like us to say instead? And then people give them and they say, thank you.
Yes.
Such kindness in there.
Yes. So that was my little moment. What made a difference for you, Mandy?
Okay. It has been Eurovision week.
Oh, here we go.
So I just enjoyed getting back into it, listening to Aussie Vision, watching that live grand final, the results. Hilarious.
So are they all there?
Only Australia and then upsettingly Iceland, because two of them got coronavirus, so they had to watch it from their hotel room in the Netherlands. So they'd done one like practice performance, so then they had to show that in the grand final or their semi-final, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
But it just was fun. And you know, they go to each country to give their 12 points.
Yep.
So the Iceland was one of the actors from Fire Saga. And so they said, and the 12 points go to Ya Ya Ding Dong. It was so fun. Ding dong. I was like, why aren't they playing Ya Ya Ding Dong? Or why aren't they playing Husavik or whatever? So anyway, that made a difference. It was just something to take my mind off, you know.
Yep.
And my girls enjoyed watching it.
Good.
Yeah. Not live. I didn't get up at 5 a.m.
Oh, no. Well, no. And it's, corona.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So my make a difference is a beautiful P sent us a book called My Friend Manny. Aww. I'll put the photo. I put it on our Insta originally, but I'll put it on properly this week. It's just a beautiful book about a friendship, and one of the little boys has ADHD.
Aww.
And it's just really nice, and I just want more books like that.
Yes.
You know, just normalizing and not sensationalizing kids that live with tricky things that when they're at school. So I really liked it. I said thank you to whoever sent it to me, and I have read it, and thank you. That made a difference.
Oh, terrific. Yep. What about a laugh?
What about a laugh? You make me laugh first?
Or? I've got one that I'm going to play, okay? So someone sent this to me today, and you've probably all seen it, but far out, this is funny.
It's just a goat.
Have you seen it?
A fucking goat.
It's just a goat.
It's a fucking goat.
There is a goat outside their window. Yeah. And it must be an 18-month-old or 2-year-old.
And she's obviously heard someone say, there's a fucking goat.
No, it's a fucking goat.
My Irish cousin sent it to me because there's always videos of Irish kids swearing and finally an Australian kid.
It's a fucking goat. Yeah. I showed it to Molly. She had a big smile on her face.
I've watched it a few times.
Yeah, me too. I just thought that really made me laugh.
Yep. Okay, so my laugh this week was that we spent the weekend up at Falls Creek, which is our happy place, and it was cold. It had snowed the week before, but it wasn't snowing. But there's a lot of ice.
Yeah.
Because when it gets really cold at night, it freezes. You just fall over. It's really horrible,
slippery,
actually.
Yeah. Don't break your arm again.
No, I know. I'm paranoid. I just won't walk in certain places. Yeah. Anyway, where we were staying, there was like a little bit of bitumen road, and then there was steps, which are sort of almost like that stuff they put around pools, you know, pebbly dash stuff. And then out the front of the rooms, that it's like little rubber circles so that the snow can slip through over a metal grate.
Right.
Anyway, and it's cold, like it's 2 degrees or whatever. Anyway, Woody comes out and he's just not wearing any shoes and he's just like running. And I said,
great idea.
What are you doing? And he goes, oh, look, I'm ready for this. I'm prepared. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I've had a lifetime of walking on Lego. So I can walk on anything.
Okay.
And he was like really proud, like,
okay,
it all makes perfect sense because I can walk on Lego.
Okay.
So take that, Bear Grylls. That's all I'm saying. Are you really the Lego master?
How funny.
Speaking of which, I hope everyone watched Lego Masters.
Oh, geez, it was so good. Oh, Brickman. Best show ever.
You know I love Matt and Alex. So Alex loves Brickman, and he did this whole thing about just seeing a man cry.
I know. It's really something.
And so then Brickman came on their podcast and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So, he was if you don't cry watching Lego Masters, then I don't know.
I wrote him a message on his Instagram. I said, thank you for showing the men of Australia that it's okay to cry. And he liked it.
Yes, it is okay.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's
awesome.
Just a beautiful, beautiful man. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
I know.
Anyway, so before we go, peas, you can order our book. It's on Booktopia. It's coming out in like 5 weeks.
It's now moved to the 20th of July instead of the 2nd of July. That's a new thing, okay?
It's due to publicity things. They want to line up all the publicity.
Nothing to do with us.
No.
So it's now the 20th. So if you're at your letterbox on the 2nd thinking, where is this damn thing?
Yeah, it's still got 18 days to go.
But anyway, it's coming.
It's coming.
And
audiobook will probably be out at the same time.
Yeah, so we're halfway through recording that. So that's been really fun and really challenging fun and hilarious. Yes. And we've got a brand new friend.
We have. He's beautiful.
He's a beautiful man who's been stuck in a room with us for many hours.
I said to him, this is very intimate.
That's what I said to him too.
Because it really is, isn't it?
I hugged him on Friday afterwards because I felt like I've just read my whole life to him.
I know. Well, you're crying.
I know.
And then are we good to go? Yep.
Yeah, okay. Wiping a tear.
Yep.
Yep. I said, can I hug you? He said, yes.
And
so
listen,
funny.
Partners in relationships, a lot of the time it is maybe a man, maybe listen.
Yeah.
Because he didn't speak back to us.
He
and
didn't.
And we felt bonded to him.
8 hours of listening to Mandy.
Yep. Woo. Yep. So anyway, it's quite the journey, recording your own book. Let me tell you that.
I think we'll have to do a snap pee about it.
I think, we will. We will. Don't worry. You'll hear all about it. Anyway, rate and review.
Yeah.
Thank you to
the supporters.
Cheer on
Lydia in the hangout.
Yes, cheer on Lydia.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.
We will. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.